everyone, and you're listening to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways to love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex, fetishes, and going deeper. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways of love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex, fetishes, and going deeper. Today's episode is episode number 66, and I wanted to take a quick second and say that, yes, I do apologize. My last episode, I stated was 64, but it was actually 65. So I fixed it in the, I had them correct the writing, but I do still say that it's episode 64. So you may hear that I say there's two episodes of 64. So my apologies for that. I do want to say that this is episode number 66 now. So thank you each and every one of you for joining in the fun and the magic as we continue our episodes of Love Talk with Kira. Okay, today's episode is going to be about, are you on the hamster wheel of pain? Now, when I say, are you on the hamster wheel of pain, do you keep yourself on a hamster wheel of pain? Have you been in a relationship and you lost the person due to maybe they passed away or, you know, you guys just broke up, what have you, anything. You got hurt and they left you. There are a million different ways that you could feel some pain. Okay, maybe you had to move away due to a job or something like that. Or there's a natural disaster and it separated you guys. You had to leave, or you know, somebody's in the military and you don't get to see them and you're on this hamster wheel of pain. You know, you're like, consider yourself like getting into a hamster wheel and you're the hamster and you start walking, okay, and then you start running and you're going and you're exhausting yourself. And you're feeling this pain and you're like, if I keep running, the pain will go away. I won't think about the pain. I'll just keep running. Well, what happens is that you get so exhausted that you start slowing down again. You think you can keep the momentum up of keeping going and keeping your mind off of all this stuff, but you can't. And what happens is you exhaust yourself and it all catches up with you and the pain is still there and it never goes away. So what happens is that you have to think about getting off the hamster wheel. Now, what happens there is a lot of people have been on that hamster wheel for so long that they don't know how to get off of it, or they feel comfortable in the hamster wheel. And instead of, if you can picture that in your mind, they feel comfortable, the hamster, you are the hamster, and that you are comfortable on the wheel because you've been on it. It's like your comfort zone. It's like your little safety net, your safety wheel in your own mind. And so your mindset, you created a pattern, a repetitive pattern for so long of enduring this pain. And so now it's become a habit to endure the pain, that you created the habit because you stayed on it for, you know, such an amount of time, which forms a habit. You know, they say what, after 2 to 3 weeks of enduring something, it becomes a habit, or repeating the same thing, it becomes a habit, and it can be a good habit or a bad habit, you know. So that's how addiction starts. So let's say you formed an addiction to running on the hamster wheel, and that addiction is now your crutch in your mindset. So now your mindset is stuck in this comfort zone in the wheel, and now you're scared. You've created such a habit and comfort zone in this wheel that now you're scared to get off of the wheel, because now you're like, oh, I'm gonna have to face what's off of the wheel, and that's not gonna be comfortable now because I've been on this wheel for so long. And now, well, am I gonna feel worse when I get off of it? Am I, it's gonna be more painful, or is it gonna feel better and then I'm gonna regret or feel guilty for getting off of it and feeling better now? Am I allowed to feel better? Should I feel better? Do I love myself enough to feel better, or do I deserve to feel better? These are all questions that people ask themselves. And they, what you're doing is You're holding on to pain that's not yours to hold on to. Okay. And then you've allowed it to take over and control your life and your mindset, and which created the habit and that was formed and triggered your mind to feel more comfortable on it, which keeps you in that crutch type mindset, which is an addiction. It's what addictions do. If you're on any other addiction, this is the same thing. You think about, you know, if you're smoking or you're doing any type of a drug, or if, you know, you drink too much or what have you, whatever, if you eat too much, exercise too much even, you know, or don't exercise, just whatever habit it is that you've created, this is the type of mindset that can trigger you to alter your mental behaviors and thought processes, which will stimulate your mind and trigger it in the opposite direction, which will help you, you know, turn back around, okay? Get off the hamster wheel and say, no, I don't want to be on the hamster wheel. Now, what happens a lot of times is people will get off the hamster wheel, tiptoe off of there, and then they'll jump back on because they're scared, okay, and revert back to the same pain in processing. And so what's happening there is you're trying it out, and you're testing the waters, so to speak, but it was too cold at that point. You know, you're like, whoa, that's too cold. It's ice cold. Ooh, I didn't like that. I better get back on my hamster wheel. It's warmer here. Well, the thing of it is, you know, when you touch cold water, usually you stick your foot into it for a minute. You stick your toe and then you stick your whole foot little by little. You take those little baby steps and those action steps, and little by little, it starts to warm up. And so it's similar process if you think of it that way. If you imagine what and picture it in your mind, what I'm saying, it's going to help you in a huge way. So consider that each time that you're trying to get off the hamster wheel of pain and you're trying not to feel this pain anymore, or not feel guilty about something, or not be addicted to something like that, which is causing you pain, or you broke up and you're, you know, in such mental anxiety and pain that you, it's a crutch and you can't move forward and you can't, you know, you can't start the healing process and forgive and all these other steps that I go over in all my other podcasts, that you can listen to. And the thing of it is consider it you sticking your toe, tiptoeing into the water, that cold water. Well, it's only cold for a minute and then it warms up. And so it's the thought of it first. So you're thinking about it and now you know it's cold, right? So you're going to try it again. Now you know it's cold. You're thinking about it. You're like, okay, I know it's cold. I know I'm supposed to warm up. I'm going to try it again. I know it's supposed to warm up here pretty quick, but I don't know. I'm still a little nervous. And what if it doesn't warm up? And so then what you're doing is you're creating yourself from moving forward by creating your own story in your mind about all these other things that can happen that haven't even happened yet. So you're creating fictional, I'm going to say it like this because I'm an author also. You're creating, and if you watch movies, you'll understand nonfiction, fiction movies. Okay. So think about the animation and writing, and if you're writing a song or singing a song, the words to a song, we're creating a fictional type story or song, what have you, type of writing in your own mindset of what the future, which hasn't happened yet, you've created it in your own mind, and it's keeping you stuck where you are right now, which is in the pain zone. And you're like, well, I'm more comfortable being in the pain zone than I am possibly, you know, testing out this water that I just created this whole mental story about this hasn't even happened yet, but it made me nervous. Well, that's your own subconscious creating its own story that's not true. It's fictional story. So what happens is that when you do that, which almost every single person in the world has done at some point. Maybe you don't do it all the time, but there is a time where I guarantee you've done it. Most of us, women especially, our mindsets start going all over the place. Or we're like, oh my God, what if this happens? What if this happens? And depending on your personality type, oh good Lord, you know, your mind can start going all over the places. And maybe all these different situations that have happened to you throughout your life are triggering you to have all these different thoughts of, oh God, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? Well, you know what? That's something that each individual, if you know that you're like that, that's something to definitely work on, because that will help you move forward also and stop being stuck in the negative thought processes and think of more positivity, like the power of positivity that I always discuss. The power of positivity keeps you moving forward. When you get stuck in that negative mindset where you're like, no, this will happen, or no, this will happen. Well, no, this happened to me one time. Well, no, this happened to them one time. Well, no, this happened to that one time. One time, you know, in 1912, this happened to somebody. You know, well, we're not in 1912, everyone. Okay, so stop thinking about what happened to everyone else. And as soon as you can trigger your mindset to stop reacting to everybody else's situations or your own mental triggers that aren't even true, and your own thoughts of what the future is going to be that you created in your own mind that aren't even true, and they're not even reality yet at all. It's your own mental story that you just like made up. And sometimes I think people should write them down because they might make a movie out of it. You know what I mean? Or you could write a book of different triggers and stuff like that. But anyway, it could probably help a lot of people out, like I'm doing here. Okay, so my point is, think about that and don't do that, because you're creating a crutch, a mental crutch for yourself, and you're keeping yourself stuck in a place of lack, in a place of I can't get out of this painful hamster wheel. I can't get out of the place that I feel like I'm going to die in for the rest of my life. I can't get out of this mental state of sadness and resentment and anger and, you know, loneliness. And people start feeling depressed, you know, and then they get tired, and then, you know, they feel exhausted even more, and it just wears you down, and then they start gaining weight, and then you feel uncomfortable about your body, and then it just keeps, like, it has a ripple effect. Okay, so my point, and then it's not just on you, it's on to everyone. It's so you work, or you start having the ripple effect with the people you work with the people surrounding you, you know, with your friends and your family and all that stuff. So you want to try to stay as positive as you can. Not everyone's positive 100%, and that's impossible. So I'm not trying to say that, because that would be ridiculous. But my point of it specifically about this is, are you keeping yourself on that hamster wheel? It's you keeping yourself on the hamster wheels, because every day you wake up, you get that opportunity to decide if you want to get off that hamster wheel or not. And so each time you go back, if you're the type that has that addiction and their mental crutch, then you're going to go back. And you may go back a couple times. That's okay. The thing of it is, that's important to know, is that you remember what it was that you were thinking in that moment that made you go back onto the hamster wheel each single time. And even if you want to write it down or do a mental or a verbal description on your phone, on your voice message or something, you can do it that way as well. But remember what it was in that moment that made you go back, and what you were afraid of, where you were just describing each time, so you can listen back to them and you can remember, oh, okay, well, I was triggered. Those are triggers now, okay? That's what those are that triggered you to go back. So there was some type of fear or a situation that took place in that moment each time that made you go back. So you want to make sure that you're understanding like what they are, and then go back. So you want to go back, and you're going to go back and listen to each of the triggers, and then you're going to write down each one and what it is exactly that is taking place in each one that is similar to each time, and then what's different. and compare them. And then you're like, oh, okay, well then you're going to alter your behaviors. Maybe you need to test the waters at a different time. Maybe you're testing the waters and putting your foot in the water when, you know, you after you just ate or something and you're exhausted anyway. And you're like, no, you know, or something that's keeping you on a crutch or you don't have enough time. You're like throwing it in the middle of something where you have to be somewhere in a minute and you don't have time to go in all the way. Does that make sense? So you have to make sure that you're scheduling the proper amount of time for you to be able to stick your foot into the water and let it warm up. Does that make sense? So think about that. That's important. And once you do that, then you're slowly going to go in a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper until you can get your body, your whole body under the water. You know how some people just jump into a pool or they do a cannonball into a pool or they just dive in and they're like, whoop. Well, they submerge their whole body under that water real fast, which helps the process and the warming up of the body temperatures and the water, you know, happen at a faster pace. But at the same time, some people, like sometimes I do it even when I get in the pool and I'm like, ooh, this is a little chilly, you know, and I'll get in little by little and then I just duck my whole head in. So, and then I'm like, ooh, that's refreshing. You know, you get up and you're like, oh, this is great. And then you don't want to get out of the water because it's wonderful. That's how I am. I'm like, okay, can I stay in here now? So who has a football, right? or volleyball or something. So, or a float or whatever. So anyway, just consider that. But you think about, and then you're like free, right? To go roam around forever, whatever time you want. You don't have to get out. But you just, when you get out, you don't want to jump back on the hamster wheel. Now, if you end up jumping on the hamster wheel again, just remember, do repeat the whole thing where you write down your triggers in the moment and compare them. And then, you know, the next time you go in, you do it at a different time. Just, you kind of tweak your circumstances each time to work for you. What's best for you? Not work best for everyone else. Okay. That's important. You have to make sure you're doing it when it's best for you because it's something that you're doing for yourself that's only going to help everyone else around you, okay, including your family. If you have an addiction, you don't quit your addiction for your family. You quit it for yourself. You may be hurting your family with your addiction, but you will not quit it if you do it for someone else. You may quit it for a day, but that's it. And then you'll start again. And then you know why? Because it's not important to you. It's important to other people. And inside yourself, you don't really want to quit. So you really don't want to get rid of this pain because you're not ready to get rid of the pain. You feel comfortable with the pain. Maybe you grew up with pain when you were a child and you always experienced pain. And so that's your comfort zone. So you're not able to receive positivity from anyone else or the rest of the world. And so you'd rather stay in a painful area, in a painful place, and submit pain to everyone else around you, you know, which is extremely toxic and disturbing in quite, you know, a number of ways when it happens. Because I know I've had, you know, people, I've seen people display a lot of different things throughout my life, and some of them are extremely disturbing. And wow, when they come out, it's really interesting, and really interesting. And I'm not a saint either. I'm not saying I haven't yelled, but I'm just saying, after doing all this work and training other people now, and then when I see something and I see somebody triggered, like with when someone's very calm. If somebody says something to you in a very calm manner, there's no reason for anyone to be triggered. You know what I mean? But if they're asking you to do something totally normal and you know, non-hurting, non-abusive or anything, and it's just like, oh, can you put that pillow on the couch, you know, or something like that? And then someone flies out the deep end and starts ripping you a new one. You know, it's stuff like that. Like, they obviously are the ones that need some help. You don't need help. So make that very clear. If somebody does that to you, they're the ones that need some help. They're under stress or they're going through some serious things. But at the same time, they need to apologize. They have no right to come to you like that. That's disgusting type of behavior. Very toxic. And it's important to find out why they're reacting that way. Sometimes they are. They're under a lot of stress and it just came out. And it came out on the ones that they're supposed to love. But that's not a loving behavior. And so what happens is they can say sorry and you can forgive them. But if it's a continuous pattern, you know, that's important to remember to, you know, go over and discuss, because you may need to, you know, talk to somebody and, you know, go to therapy together and just actually discuss some things. Maybe they have pent up frustrations inside that they need to actually discuss with other people and they haven't been able to do that. And so, or what have you. I don't know. Some people aren't getting enough sleep. Some people are just stressed because of work and all these different things that everybody wants everyone to achieve. And it's like nearly impossible for everyone to do anymore. Everyone's in competition with everyone. But what you need to be in competition with is yourself. So if you stop, if you know what the competition is and you just keep working on yourself and competing against yourself to make yourself better, then you'll end up beating out the competition anyway in the long run. If you're actually a good person and you're not an abusive person and you're not there to hurt other people, otherwise you won't. It'll never happen. You'll never get anywhere. You might get like some education and stuff, sure. And you might get put into a great place for a little bit, but it'll never last a lifetime, because you're gonna end up, you know, losing that job because you're not you're not helping others in the long run. You're hurting others and you're hurting yourself when you're doing it. So you don't want to hurt your family. You don't want to hurt yourself. You want to hurt others. You want to find peace within yourself, peace within your family, peace within others, and sustain that. So you want to get off that hamster wheel. So take the time to take the action steps to do it. It's all up to you. Okay. That's going to be it for tonight for Love Talk with Kira. Thank you everyone for joining in, and everyone have a good night, morning or day, depending on what country you're from, and we will talk later. Okay, night night.